Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God your Father, the Lord and your Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We all like our stuff, don't we? Many of you know I'm much into superheroes, so I have a really awesome, I think anyway, comic book collection. I enjoy them. I also like my computer. I like my furniture. I like my house. We could talk about the car later, but it's okay as well. But all of us can think of that stuff that we love. It might be something else. It might be a family heirloom of some sort. I remember when I was a kid, I forgot to mention this last night, but I remember as a kid I had a teacher who had taught me in California come and visit us when we were in Wisconsin. And he did the best thing he could have done to my sister. He got to sleep in her room as he was visiting, and he told her before he left that he moved one thing in her room. Well, after searching and searching, she finally realized he didn't move a thing. But she was upset because one of her things, her stuff, had been touched and moved. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can become so obsessed with our stuff that we lose sight of what is right and good, the truth. Because in our text today, Jesus, he's talking about how our wealth gets in the way. In fact, it is impossible for anyone with any form of wealth, be they poor or rich, in the eyes of man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because our trust usually lies somewhere else. That's even in our own stuff. Is it that God of mammon loves to take over? Jesus even says here, the evangelist Mark writes, and Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now we have to understand the context of what just happened. Right before Jesus says this, a rich young man comes and visits Jesus. And he asks him, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And well, Jesus gives the one answer the rich man didn't want to hear. Because the rich man wanted to say, you know, do this, do that. But Jesus tells him, sell everything. Not just one thing, not just your most important thing, not your least thing, but all of it. Or told the rich young man, lose his heart. In fact, I can see him walking away with his head bowed as if walking away in shame that he had been defeated. And so with that happening, Jesus says how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Because he's got this great illustration right here that this rich young man is unwilling to give up even the least of his things. In fact, the disciples were amazed at his words. Because I'm sure prosperity gospel was being preached then as it is now. That those with the most toys at the end wins. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. You see, to God, the term wealth is relative. Because it points not necessarily to actual riches. What this word is pointing to is what you treasure the most. Our world loves to treasure stuff. What Jesus is talking about here is where does your heart lie? What do you call your treasure. See, Jesus is talking about all people, rich or poor. Because even the poor man can have his most prized possession that he trusts more than anything else in the world. And that which you trust most is your God. And so Jesus is pointing out a problem here. He's pointing that it's not even about the riches, but that you are the problem. You see, you are the problem because you find hope, you find comfort in other things besides God Himself. You look to your stuff. You look to your 401k. You look to your stocks. You look to your bank account to see where your comfort lies. But you see, Jesus comes along and teaches contrary to all of that. He teaches your hope, your comfort should be in God, not your stuff, not even of yourself. In fact, it is so difficult that Jesus says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure many of us have heard that people have tried to say that this eye of the needle was a gate in Jerusalem. Well, in my research, I found out there is no such thing as said gate. We can't find it. You see, what Jesus is pointing out is the difficulty of it all. That you, that a camel, cannot enter through the eye of a very small needle. That is the difficulty it takes to get into heaven. See, I don't know about you, but if I try to walk through the eye of the needle, I know I'm not going to get through. And even those who are much thinner than I cannot get through. Yes, Jesus is teaching us to be humble here. That is not the point in the end. The point is that Jesus is saying it is impossible. Impossible to get to heaven on your own. You see, it's even impossible to get there with help. You see, with man, it is on your own. It is impossible for you to enter the kingdom of God, to enter through its gates. Why? Because you will never be good enough or do enough to obtain forgiveness and salvation for yourself. Proof of it lies in how we treat stuff. I'm not saying not to take care of it by any means. We are called to be stewards. But we can't make it so special. But you see, even though it is impossible with us, it is possible with God. You see, Jesus says here, and they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" the disciples asked. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." All things are possible. Not just a few, not just one, but all things are possible with God. You see what Jesus is saying here? That is, God is so powerful, so almighty, so loving. He can squeeze you through the eye of a needle. You see, God is so powerful, so almighty, so loving, He can even save the sinful wretches you all are. That is God's power. That is His glory for you in the end. You see, he has squeezed you through the eye of the needle through forgiveness, life, and salvation that he gives to you freely without any merit or worthiness in you. That is his gift to you, and he will continually give it. Because you may receive things of this earth a hundredfold, which usually, by the way, is accompanied with persecutions and other sufferings. And Jesus says it right here. Because even in his pride, Peter says, you know, this is new. Peter's speaking before he thinks. See, we have left everything and followed you. But Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. Let's face it, even though we may have all the things we want, all that stuff, there's always something missing. But you see, Jesus here is telling us that he has come along, not just to fill the void, but to fill all things. You see, the Father sends his one and only Son to die and rise for you, to give you forgiveness and righteousness. In fact, even though we were last, we are now first. You see, he declares that you are forgiven of all your sin. He declares that you are righteous before his Father. And that he continually sends you his gifts of those things, of forgiveness, life, salvation, the very righteousness of Christ on the cross. That's why in just a few moments, you'll be given the gift of his own body and blood shed for you on the cross. In fact, it happened many years ago, or not so many, where you were baptized into his death and his resurrection. For in his death, you are given forgiveness. In his resurrection, you are declared righteous before your Father. See, that is who you now are in Christ. In fact, St. Paul calls you in many places an heir of the kingdom, an inheritor of God's great gifts. Eternal life, forgiveness now, and eternity in heaven. For you see, in him lies the hope of everlasting life. In him lies the comfort that all this world has been conquered, our sinfulness has been conquered. And that we have been set free to be his children, to be his one and only, to be his heirs of the kingdom. You see, in that kingdom, there is no longer sin nor blemish, nor hardship nor suffering, but only perfection and glory beyond our imagination now. And the good news is he gives it to you freely. In fact, he doesn't expect anything in return. And that's his love for you. So he now gives you the sure and certain hope of the age to come, where you will see him face to face, where you will be joyful beyond comprehension. All given to you through Christ. That, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the truth. That's the truth that has set you free. And so look not to your stuff, but look to Christ, who's redeemed you, lost and condemned sinner. Amen. And so now with the peace of God that does surpass all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.